Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're going to look at the market this morning. Mike Barker's on the line with us. Mike, of course, is a regular on this program. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. He's a chartered retirement planning counselor and a certified fund specialist offering securities to Linsco Private Ledger, member of NASD and SIPC. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Okay. It looks like, the market has calmed down. I guess we're still seeing some volatility, not kind of the edge of the chair stuff that we saw a couple of weeks ago. What's your feeling this morning? Are we going to see more of the same going forward?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure I agree with the calm down part. We had net, it appears that way. But, it was Tuesday. I think the Dow was down about 250 or something like that. I don't have it in front of me here. But it was 280 on Tuesday. And then Wednesday we go up about 250 or so. 247, whatever it was. So it's still the volatility is still there, but net, you go back to when we were talking, I guess a week ago, that the market was beginning to get into an area where it may be a little more difficult to get a lot of upside going, and it stick, and that seems to be the case still at this point. So that's as far as describing the market, that's pretty much what we're seeing. And I know folks want this to settle down and get back somewhat to a more normal situation, but I just don't see that anytime soon. That doesn't mean it's going to be bad. I think people lose sight of the fact that volatility doesn't mean down all the time. You can have volatility both ways, and I think we're going to continue to see this volatility for a while.
It surely has been interesting, though, the last couple of weeks, looking at the Dow, for example. 1 minute, and you look at it 30 minutes later, and it's gone up and down, and it's been crazy.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring that up and put it that way, because over the years I'm really quick to try to caution people to keep things in perspective, because the market is the market. It's going to do what it does, and it goes up and goes down and does all these sorts of things, but cannot stress enough that what we have seen the last 3 to 4 weeks, it is very, very strange, and it's not the stock. It's not the normal course of events in the stock market. And no question, what we are seeing is pretty amazing.
I see. Excuse me. Everybody appears to be waiting to see what Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke is going to say today. He's got a speech. I think it's in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I guess what, they're trying to get a grasp on how much Bernanke is going to part from the precedent maybe set by former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan?
I think that and a lot of other things. And I think it's safe to say that this speech, I believe it's at 10 o'clock today, if I'm not mistaken. But, of course, he's out in Wyoming, so I'm assuming it's 10 o'clock Eastern time. But anyway, it's this morning sometime. And I really think this could be one of the more important speeches by a Federal Reserve Chairman in a long, long time. This could really be an important speech, and I think Bernanke realizes that. And I would be pretty certain that he has gone over this thing time and time again to make sure that it's conveying what he wants to convey.
What are you expecting? I mean, is this going to be a big, big speech?
It could be. And it could be a big speech either way. My guess would be that, and incidentally, speaking of this, Dave, a lot of folks are talking about what they expect from this speech today, basing it on some of the things in the minutes from the Federal Reserve meeting, the minutes that came out the other day on Tuesday, I think it was, from the August 7th meeting. And I don't think that's a good thing to do, because the minutes that came from that meeting August 7th, a lot of things have changed since then. The Federal Reserve has lowered the discount rate 50 basis points since then. There's been a lot of liquidity injected into the system since then. So my point is, I don't think those minutes mean a whole lot, given how much things have changed. So with that said, looking at the speech today, I think what you'll see is some more acknowledgement as to what is going on in the markets right now, in the housing market, the credit markets. But I still think you'll see somewhat of a balancing act, and I think that's what will be interesting to watch. I don't think you're going to see a lot of things pointing to doom and gloom and potentially lowering rates and all that sort of stuff. I just doubt that, but we'll see. Who knows?
Mike, we need to take a break here, get some messages in. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, we were talking about the upcoming speech from Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, scheduled for a little bit later this morning. I suspect we're going to see some interesting reaction right after he finishes that speech.
Well, I think you'll actually see reaction before he finishes. I think, you know, how
during
the market
the speech,
does.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure yet, because I have not been able to talk to the individual that I would typically talk to about this sort of thing, but I think the speech itself will be released just before he actually gives the speech. I may be wrong on that. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, this is one of those things I think you'll begin to see reaction before he actually finishes, as people pick and choose certain things in the speech. So we'll see what happens, but I think it's going to be interesting.
Well, I just checked the time, and it is 10 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
So very likely if it's released right before the speech.
But
we'll
what I don't know is, and I hope they'll find this out here in a few minutes, but what I don't know, I've often chuckled at times in the past, someone's going to make a real important speech, and then it's given to the media just before the speech, and then all the on-site correspondents are on camera telling us what the person's going to tell us. So I don't know if it'll go that way this time or not.
Well, it'll be interesting. Anyway, one of the things that I've read a whole lot about is something people call the Greenspan put, and I guess that's what a reference to efforts on the part of Greenspan during his tenure to protect investors from loss. What's that all about? And do you suspect that Bernanke is of a different mind as it relates to that?
Yeah, that's a good question there, and an important question. And the Greenspan put, so to speak, and I think when you hear the word put, a lot of people are a little confused by what put means. And I know we don't want to get into a big long discussion about options, but a put option can be a way to protect a particular investment by buying put options. And it's talked about in the same vein sometimes as like an insurance type policy on a stock or a position or whatever. Without getting into all that, it's somewhat of a protective type situation. So that's where the put part comes into the Greenspan put, and it really comes about from a history of Alan Greenspan of stepping in, lowering interest rates when things get pretty ugly in the financial markets. And of course, there were all sorts of things that happened during his tenure at the Fed, which started in 1987, by the way, in the summer, not too long before the October 87 crash. So he was in the hot seat pretty quickly with trying to do something to help the financial market, so to speak. But that's where that comes from, and I think the reason that's talked about so much here lately is people are wondering, and rightly so, I think, if Bernanke will be of that mindset, or at least do things in a way to cause folks to think that there's going to be a Bernanke put, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And let's not kid ourselves. I'm sure he's well aware of that perception anyway. And like we talked about, I guess, a week or two ago, when he lowered the discount rate by 50 basis points I think it was 2 weeks ago today, and you know, there was a lot of talk that already started shortly after that, that Bernanke wanted to do pretty much everything he could except lower the Fed funds rate. And that's still a somewhat of a conversation out there, I think. But time will tell. But at this point, I think the majority opinion, anyway, is that he will be lowering the Fed funds rate soon.
I see. But at least up to this point, before he lowers the funds rate, if you know, if he does, can one say that at least he's distanced himself somewhat from what Mr. Greenspan had done earlier?
I don't know. It's hard to predict that. But if he lowers the Fed funds rate soon, I think it would be construed somewhat in the same light as Alan Greenspan.
I see.
Who knows? But yeah, I tell you, it's really. I've always told you on the show, Dave. I'll be honest. Sometimes I won't have a clue, but I'll tell you that. But it there are so many angles to whether he should lower interest rates, lower the Fed funds rate right now, that it's an interesting little scenario we're in at the moment. And even some of the folks that are saying that they think he will lower rates and should lower rates, even some of those folks are saying how much they wonder how much of a positive effect it'll have anyway. So it's just it's a tricky time right now, and the speech today, I think, will maybe give a little more clues as to maybe what he's thinking.
Uh-huh. Mike, let's take a break here. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, back to the conversation about Ben Bernanke and comparing him with his predecessor, Alan Greenspan. Judging on the precedents from Mr. Greenspan, would it be fair to say it was more likely that he would have lowered the funds rate last week when all this volatility was taking place?
You mean if Greenspan were in the position?
Yeah,
I think that would be a fair assumption. I mean, we'll never know, but I would think that Greenspan would have probably lowered rates at this point.
Okay, so all this discussion about how much different Bernanke is from Greenspan is probably going to go out the window anyway when the fund rate is lowered. When do you expect that'll be at this next meeting?
Well, you're making the assumption. I think he's going to do it. if he is going to lower the Fed funds rate, and assuming nothing really deteriorates before then, I think he would wait until the meeting. But I'll have to say I'm still not totally convinced that he thinks he needs to lower the Fed funds rate at this point. And I'll give you just one quick little analogy, one little example of why you have to be really careful. Listening to some of these folks talk about what they think the Fed should do, I saw an individual interviewed a couple of days ago on a financial channel, and he was talking about how he thinks they need to lower rates a half percentage point and maybe even do it before the meeting and why it's so necessary and that the Fed funds rate is too high and all this sort of thing. And then they went to another person on the panel, and then went back to this first person and asked him what he thought about the market, and then he went through all the good things about the economy, how resilient it is, and how housing, in his opinion, is not that much of a factor at this point, and that there's liquidity all over the globe, money sloshing around everywhere, the foreign markets look good, And of course, they ran out of time. But the next question should have been, given that he thinks all that, why does he think the Fed should lower rates?
Yeah.
If you follow me there.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing a lot of folks that are really beating the drum, saying the Fed needs to lower rates and they need to do it yesterday and all of this. But yet in the same breath, they go through all these positive things going on out there. And the only reason I mention that is if that's the case, it makes you wonder if Bernanke thinks that that a lot of folks out there are wishing for all these rate cuts, but in reality, maybe they're not needed. So my point is, this is a tricky little situation I think we're in. And the thing that's so tricky about Bernanke is he has not been in that position long enough for folks to really, have a feel for maybe how he'll react to this sort of thing. So all that said, I think the odds favor him lowering interest rates. How much and when he does that, I don't know how to get an edge on that, but I think at this point the odds favor some sort of cut.
I see. But it may not necessarily be at this September meeting.
Well, I think if he's going to do it, it'll be at that meeting, mainly because it'll be following up with the liquidity injections that have been done and following up on the lowering of the discount rate 2 weeks ago. So I think it would be okay to do it at the next meeting and look like they've or give them a chance to discuss this more in a Fed meeting, regularly scheduled meeting, and that sort of thing. And they will have had more data to look at between now and then. So I think it would take a pretty big deterioration in things from here to see any move like that before the next meeting.
I see. You know, it is interesting, the timing, speaking the day before a holiday and a three-day weekend. I suspect that gives Mr. Bernanke a little bit more elbow room.
I agree. To some degree. He's doing it at 10 o'clock while the market's open.
Yeah, that's true. But that's
so
true.
I don't know how big of a factor, that is. But I know one thing. With the volatility we've seen in this market the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's a holiday is very welcome to a lot of folks at this point.
I can imagine. Anyway, all eyes will be on Ben Bernanke later this morning. Let me ask you about the GDP numbers that came out yesterday. Good news, I think, probably better than a lot of people thought. Anyway, I don't know, better than most. What does all this mean in the scheme of things? Did this surprise you? Did this surprise the Wall Street types?
I think it surprised some folks. It was a little stronger than maybe I was expecting, but not enough to really consider it a big upside surprise. And I'm not sure if that's relevant anyway. With the developments we've seen since that data was created, or since the quarter, that created that GDP number. I really don't think it's all that relevant because so many things have changed and so many things have deteriorated since then. So I really don't think that GDP report should enter into much at all.
I see. Need to jump in here, Mike. Time to get some messages in. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We had talked, we probably talked every time that we've been on the air here about the housing market. I didn't want to talk in any great length about it, but you had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that you expected that you would see, before all was said and done, some of the home builders perhaps filing Chapter 11, and I noticed this week Fitch had lowered ratings. I think it was on six or seven home builders, I suspect that sort of follows what you had said earlier.
Yeah, I think it's just the beginning of some recognition that some of these home builders are going to be in some pretty dire financial situation. As we go forward here, And of course, that's a symptom of what's going on in housing. And I still continue to say, and this, by the way, is even if the Fed lowers interest rates, I still don't think we've seen the worst in housing, and all sorts of reasons for that. And I know you don't want to get into a lot of detail, but the housing situation, what's going on in the mortgage market, what's going on with some of the home builders, that's continuing in my opinion, and just don't see that getting better anytime in the near future.
Now, Mike, you had talked over the last couple of programs about a lot of these mortgages resetting. Is there a particular period of time where we're going to see a good deal of that?
Yeah, there is, and I mentioned to you last time we talked, I would look at that a little closer. And when I think will be the time to really stay close to this reset situation, I think it'll be October. Looking at some of the data I've been able to get a hold of and talking to some folks, it appears that the first big month to maybe begin to see really what that may do to things is October. So we'll obviously keep that in mind, and as we get closer to that time, really put some attention on this mortgage reset situation. And for folks who might not quite be aware of what we're talking about here, there were so many mortgages done over the last, say, 2 to 3 years with low adjustable interest rates, in some cases teaser rates and all that type stuff, and we're getting into windows now where these mortgages that had these very low interest rates, some interest only and option arms and all these sorts of things, the reset period is really starting to be in front of us here and be close. And as these mortgages begin to reset, the question is how many of these people who did these mortgages will not be able to afford the new payment. And there will be a fair amount of those people that will not be able to afford the new payments. And all of this is moving into third quarter and what it's going to mean for the economy. And I think, and back to that GDP question you asked me about, third quarter, I think, is going to be the quarter that we really begin to see some of the negative impacts on GDP from this and some of these other problems.
I got you. Let me ask you one more question about the housing market. I've read articles and I've seen headlines, flippers and scammers are to blame for this, you know, this situation in the mortgage market. Is there one, I mean, are the subprime lenders at the top of the list if you're placing blame?
Well, that's out of my world, so to speak. And the reason it is we simply look at what is the condition that we have, and how do we navigate it? What does it mean to the markets? If it's going to be bad, at what point is it priced into the markets? And the reason that's so critical, and this confuses people sometimes, I think. The market typically will reach a point where it has gone down as much as it's going to go down on a particular problem. And then once it does that, that particular problem may continue to be in the press, in the media with negative headlines, and actually may continue to get worse over time. But the market will quit reacting negatively to it. And that's what we're all about in trying to figure out as far as who caused the problem and who takes the blame for it and all of that. We, for obvious reasons, don't spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. And that I answer it that way for two reasons. One, it's how we look at things, and two, I can skirt the question a little bit by explaining that. It's hard to say who's to blame for all of this. I mean, you can find a lot of folks that will tell you that the Federal Reserve is to blame for this, for lowering interest rates so far down to a point that it created a situation where these low adjustable rates could be put in place, and folks could qualify based on those rates for much more home than maybe they could afford otherwise. But it's hard to say. I mean, how the problem was created, what allowed it to get to this point, you and I started talking about almost a year ago. And that's really what we focus on. But what you're talking about, I have no doubts that folks are working very hard to figure that out as we speak.
Need to pause, Mike. It's time for a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Floor Radio. Stand by. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're looking at the market this morning. Mike Barker is with us from Investment and Retirement Management. Crude. Crude oil, I think, as you had predicted, had gone down. We're seeing it, you know, going back up a bit now. I have to give you 1 point for the down part. That was good. What are you seeing ahead? You know, is this getting scary?
You know, at this level, I really don't have a feel for it. And the reason it's important for me to admit that is the way I look at crude oil and gas and most commodities, but more specifically crude oil, is when you and I were talking several weeks ago, and I made the comment that I felt like crude oil, the next big move would be down, probably to the tune of 8 to maybe 10 points. If you remember, right after I said that, it popped up just a little bit more, almost 2 points, if I'm not mistaken. And then started this pretty big down move, almost 10 from the high, and right at 8 from where I first said that. So that worked out okay. And the reason I go through that is that the setup that I see, that I've seen over the last several years to make those kinds of expectations or those predictions, I just don't see that type setup right now either way. So not seeing the setup that I would typically look for to make a judgment or prediction on it at the moment would just be totally rolling the dice, and that's not what we're about. So just to be blunt about it, from here, I have no idea which way the next, say, 5 to 8 points is in crude oil.
I gotcha. We're heading into September, and I'm wondering, we've not talked about, you know, historical aspects of a given month, but it's my take that September is not the greatest month of the 12 months we have to deal with. Is that pretty much the way you see it?
Well, that historically September has been the worst month in the market.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know, we talked 3 or 4 weeks ago about my expectation for volatility to really pick up, and we've seen that in spades without question. And part of the reasons for that were the time of year we were in, first of all. And it being towards the latter part of the summer, typically a slow time anyway. And then now, what we're moving into September next week, and as we said, historically, that's the worst month of the year for the market. And as I always say, that's the history. Now, whether you want to do much with that history for this time is up to each individual. But I think it's important this time because you have a historical precedent for this to not be the best time in the world for the market, and with the volatility we've seen going into this month, it adds some volatility potential to this, I think. And also, the other thing really interesting about this is the Fed meeting later in the month. It really makes you wonder if the market will be in somewhat of a suspended state until then.
So, just waiting to see what they're going to say.
This could be a pretty interesting time here for the next 2 or 3 weeks or so. But the volatility, I do not see this volatility going away anytime soon, both ways.
I see. Well, it's going to be interesting talking right after the Bernanke speech today. I guess everybody is going to read in something from that as to what he's going to do at this upcoming meeting.
Yeah, I think so. And incidentally, Dave, you mentioned crude oil. I just wanted to point out Wednesday, when the market was up almost 250, crude oil was up pretty big that day. And the reason I want to point that out is I wonder how many times we're going to see as we go forward here on days if crude oil's up a lot and the market's down, how many folks are going to attribute the down move in the market to crude oil going up.
Yeah.
And
uh,
that I really want to stress, at least for the near future here, people need to be really careful attributing market moves to what's going on in crude oil, because in my opinion, at least at the moment, in my opinion, that's not that critical of a factor right now. There are way too many other things, I think, that are much more important to what's going on in the market right now than that.
This morning, we're talking about the market with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back after this break. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker is with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. You touched on this a little bit earlier. It was Tuesday, right, that the big down day this week. That was Tuesday on the market?
Tuesday, the Dow was down 280. And Wednesday, I think we were up about 247.
Recovered, yeah. Now, yeah. Was that dip the result of the content in the minutes that were released from the Federal Reserve, and if so, why?
Well, that's a good question, and you and I actually talked a little bit late that day when the Dow was down about 280 on Tuesday, and I was astounded at what the media was calling or what the media was attributing for that drop on Tuesday, and a lot of what people were talking about was the quote disappointment from the minutes that were released that day about the Federal Reserve meeting on August 7th. And the reason that struck me as very peculiar is, number one, the meeting was August 7th. A lot has changed since then, so that in and of itself takes a lot of those minutes and pretty much puts them off the table, so to speak. But number two, sometimes I wonder, Dave, when folks are attributing so much of a market move to something like something the Fed is saying or not saying, that report is 9 pages, and I've got it right here in front of me, and I really wonder how many of these folks have actually read the report. Sometimes I think not many have even read the thing, and if time allows, Dave, and you stop me if you're running tight on time here, but there's three or four sentences in this report that were not mentioned Tuesday, and this is on page 8, if folks want to look at this, but just listen to this real quick. Quote, members expected a return to more normal market conditions, but recognized that the process likely would take some time, particularly in markets related to subprime mortgages. However, a further deterioration in financial conditions could not be ruled out, and to the extent such a development could have an adverse effect on growth prospects, might require a policy response. Policymakers would need to watch the situation carefully, end quote. My point in mentioning that is everything I saw discussed on Tuesday as far as disappointment from this report. If folks would have read those sentences I just read, I think at a minimum it would have neutralized this report. And if nothing else, you could have drawn the conclusions that the Fed realizes these things are becoming problems, and that if they think these things are going to have an adverse effect on growth, they may have to make a policy response. And policy response can range from what they did 2 weeks ago, lowering the discount rate, to injecting liquidity in the system, which they've done, to lowering the Fed funds rate. So, that's another reason why I think this speech today by Bernanke will be so important. In my mind, from these minutes, they've acknowledged what's going on here even before this was as bad as it's become, if you follow me there. So, the reason that's so important too is we're down 280 on Tuesday supposedly because of these minutes, and then we're back up 250 the next day. So I don't know if folks just had time to read the report or if calmer heads prevailed or what happened. But, of course, there was some more chatter that day when we bounced about a letter that Bernanke had written. But anyway, that's the type market environment we're in, and that's the reason I point that out. And it just goes to show, as we've said on this show for years, when the market makes a big move, just because the headlines are saying it's because of A, B, and C, believe me on this, that does not mean that's why the market moved like it did.
I got you. And the message here is read the whole speech tomorrow from Ben Bernanke and not just the headlines.
Yeah, and like I said earlier in the discussion here, there will be lines in that speech that as soon as they come out, the market's going to react to it. And that's a mistake, in my opinion, unless it's just a blatant, type thing. But yeah. But barring that, that's the knee-jerk, short-term type reactions to these things. And this report, I mean, I would encourage folks, don't take my word for it, pull this report off the Internet, and it's 9 pages, and read it. And it's really interesting to see the ebb and flow in the conversations at these Fed meetings. And it demonstrates, as well as I've seen in years, that the media perception or many people's perceptions of these minutes as they were released on Tuesday, in my view anyway, was completely wrong. And if you read the whole report, I think you'll agree with that.
Very interesting. Good place to leave it. Mike, you have a great holiday, and it's always great having you spend some time with us.
You too, Dave. Enjoy it, and we'll talk next week.
You got it. We've been talking with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management, and you're listening to Floor Radio.